Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from the second letter of Timothy, Paul to Timothy, beginning at verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that in your grace and mercy, you would equip us so that we would know truth from error, so that we would be able to grow to be the people and the church family you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week I started with who would have believed it. This week, here's the starting sentence. Why should you bother to listen to me this morning? Now, I wasn't going to send it open to an open debate about that question, if I was perfectly honest. But it's a really important question, isn't it? Why should you listen to what I say? Paul, as we've been going through Timothy, has been reminding Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of the good news of Jesus. And as we go through this reading, he's going to remind Timothy, and therefore us, that we should, if we have teaching responsibilities, teach the truth. But if we have the responsibility of listening, we have to know who we should listen to and why. And actually, he's going to start with who we shouldn't listen to and why. And so as we go through, hopefully by the end of the morning, you'll go, yeah, I should listen to Anthony. The really good news for me is you've got to listen to decide whether that's true or not. So I'm on a win-win at this place. So for you and for me, what does it mean for us to be a church family that actually is in a safe place because we know the good news of Jesus is at the center of all that is said and taught? So we're going to look first at who not to listen to. Paul is aware that some people will have fallen for the temptation to be ashamed of Jesus, and that temptation has meant that they've begun to downplay or change what Jesus had said, what the apostles had taught. And so he wants to remind Timothy and those and us that there are people we shouldn't listen to. Who are those people? Verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So says Paul, first of all, don't listen to those who argue. And what he means then is those who quarrel about Scripture, they sit over it and will not accept its authority. They're willing to jettison the bits they don't like so that they can justify their actions. They get needlessly difficult when the plain teaching of Scripture, the plain meaning of Scripture is obvious. They get tied up in trivial things, so they do not have to deal with the good news of Jesus and the offense sometimes is. You and I have a responsibility to make sure that we're not listening to people who merely quarrel about the Scriptures. Why is that? Well, says Paul, it's of no value and only ruins those who are listening. This teaching does no good. God's purpose is not actually to pander to our inquisitiveness. The great teacher of the Reformation, John Calvin, said this, "Away with all speculations that produce no edification, no growth, no becoming more like Christ," is what he means by that. And we are told that we should not listen to those who do that, who actually, when we listen to them, they do us no good. As we'll see, the truth is that in the church there will be people like that. Paul is not here setting up an aunt Sally to throw down. He's not doing something that isn't necessary. He's saying, look, I need to warn you that these people will be around. How do we know that? Well, because they were already there in Paul's day. Verse 17, their teaching will spread like gangrene. We'll come back to that in a minute. Among them are Hymenaetus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. Even so few years after Jesus and his being on earth, you see, the church was already having people in it who were moving away from the gospel. That's why Paul says in verse 23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because they produce quarrels. We are not to listen to those who are merely those who are arguers, quarrelers. Secondly, he says, don't listen to those who just chatter. Verse 16, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. He says, don't listen to those who, when you listen to them, you think, actually, this isn't helping me at all. They heap up words which lead people away from God. They can actually be brilliant orators. And actually, then we suddenly think, but hold on a minute, what did they say? What they say may sound good. But actually, if they are just those, verse 16, who chatter, they will be useless to us. Their teaching will be person-centered, inconsistent, lacking in the Spirit's power. Now, it's frightening, I think, when we see that. When I was at Vicar Factory, I was sent to a church where, to be honest, the Bible wasn't taught at all well, if ever. And on this particular day, we have a baptism party there, and the preacher was doing the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son, if you don't know, is one where a son runs away, squanders all his, well, he asks his father for some half his wealth, he takes the money, goes away, squanders it, and then realizes what a mess he made and come back, and the father welcomes him back. It's a very powerful story about forgiveness. This is what the preacher said. So I want to tell you this morning, remember there were loads of people there who weren't normally in church. You must go out into the world, get your experience, do whatever you like. And when you come back, we'll be here as a church ready to welcome you. We won't challenge anything you've done. We'll just be here with open arms. Now, if you can make the parable of the prodigal son say that, you have departed from the truth. You are a chatterer. We are warned that such things are dangerous. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. What is gangrene like? It destroys. It spreads easily. It needs to be dealt with quickly. You and I have a responsibility to check what we're listening to. That's why you'll often hear me say, look, you need to check that what I say is true. Don't just assume it is. So then, if that's who we shouldn't listen to, rather more importantly, who should we listen to? Well, verse 15 gives us the beginning of our answer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The people we're going to listen to are those who correctly handle the word of truth. Now, you might be sitting there going, well, how do I know that? How do I know if someone is correctly handling the word of truth? Well, let me give you some first, can you see that what is being said is clearly there in the passage? If you can't, then you've got to begin to say, hold on a minute, is he correctly or she correctly handling the word of truth? Or perhaps you think, well, that goes completely contrary to everything that I know. Then I'd be beginning to ask, well, hold on, was what I knew wrong or is it somebody not correctly handling the word of truth? And there's some expressions which point us towards if somebody's not correctly handling the word. If you hear a preacher say, I like to think, have your antenna up. If he says, the Bible says, that's somebody who correctly handles the word of truth. And the word means cutting a straight path. It's that picture of, like almost a Roman road, a straight path through all the whatever's there so that you can see what the scriptures are teaching. That's what it means to correctly handle the word of truth. And so if we're a home group leader, if we're teaching the children, if we're a vicar, we need to be those who correctly handle the word of truth. And we need to listen to those who do. The reason for that is because it will help us grow in our faith. But notice what it says, do your best, verse 15, to present yourself as to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The first time I ever preached on this passage was I was away on a Christian house party with a whole load of students. We had morning and evening meetings. There was a guy in the morning, a guy called Dick Dowsett, brilliant speaker, amazing. Every morning I just got wowed by how he preached, and there was me in the evening. You can imagine what it felt like. By about Tuesday, I went to Dick in the afternoon and said, Dick, why don't you do the evenings as well? You're so much better than me. And he said to me, Anthony, what are you speaking on tonight? And I read these verses. He said three words to me. Do you know what the three words were? Do your best. Okay. Now I know. We're not called, if we're called to teach, to help people understand the scriptures, we're not called to do somebody else's best. We're called to do our best to correctly handle the word of truth. And so we must look for those who we can see are doing that and listen to them. Who should we listen to? Those who correctly handle the word of truth. Secondly, we should listen to those who are committed to holiness. Verse 20. We'll actually start at 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, that's unholiness, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Paul uses a new analogy to show us that those we listen to should not just correctly handle the word of truth, they should live it out as well. They should be fleeing from evil, pursuing godliness, set apart for God, useful to God, ready to do any good work. Those are the people we should listen to. Those who we can see are committed to not only correctly handling the word of truth, but living it out as well. Now, please hear me, because I don't want, the ministry overseers in charge of home groups don't want 18 home group leaders resigning tomorrow, because they just go, no, I'm not, that's not me. None of us do this perfectly. It's that commitment to holiness, to doing the right thing. I'm not expecting those who were here 19 years ago, roughly, to hear my first sermon, to remember what I said in it. I did remind you after 10 years, so there we go, it's only 9 years ago you've got to remember, but I said this, and I remember saying it, because I meant it passionately. I said this: if you can't see me grow as a Christian, you ought to ask me to leave as your vicar. Because you cannot be a teacher, a leader, if you've not got this commitment to holiness as well. We need to listen to people who are not just correctly handling the word of truth, but have a commitment to holiness, to being the people God wants them to be, to being good instruments. And we need to listen to those, verse 24, who are humble. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. I'm going to tell a story I've told before. I'm really sorry. I just love it so much. So if you remember it, I apologize now. A new curate had preached his first sermon, and he wanted to show that he was humble. And so he was standing by the door as people went out and going, what do I say? What do I say? And an older lady came past and said, that was a very good sermon. And he thought, and he wanted to be humble, so he said, oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And she said, it wasn't that good. There is a right humility, and sometimes we don't quite know how to action that, do we? But actually, we want to listen to people who don't want to make it about themselves. They want to make it about the Lord. And because of that, we'll see these characteristics in them. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. We listen to these humble folk who act teaching the truth, but doing it gently and carefully for the good of others. We listen to them. Why? because they will encourage us to holiness and repentance, to being the people God wants us to becoming more like Jesus. If you pray for those who lead at Christ Church St Andrews, pray that they will be those who correctly handle the word of truth. Pray that they will be those who have a commitment to holiness. Pray they will be those who are humble. Why do we pray those things? Because then we'll be encouraged to become more like Jesus. We'll be encouraged to be the people God wants us to be. Next week, we'll see what type of people God wants us to be. But know this, if you listen to rubbish, you won't grow. If you listen to those whose commitment is to correctly handle the word of truth, you'll find your spirit sings with that teaching. Doesn't mean it isn't challenging. Absolutely is. But it will resonate because God's spirit in you will help you to know that this is God's word for you. I love the fact that sometimes at the end of sermons, people are incredibly gracious and will say afterwards, "Do you know the Lord said this to me today? Or the Lord said that to me today?" And the amazing thing to me is sometimes I haven't said any of that. That's fine. God does what he does. But also sometimes people go, "The Lord said this to me because this is what I needed to hear." And somebody else has heard something else, and somebody else has heard something slightly different. Why? Because when the word of God is correctly handled, the Spirit of God can use it in so many ways so that as individuals and as a church family, we grow in our faith. What an amazingly good God he is. That he doesn't leave us alone to grow, but provides us people, those who correctly handle the word of truth, so that we would know his love, but above all, know him in all his glory and what he wants for us. Let's pray together. Father, it hurts us that we are warned that there will be people, even in positions of authority in the church, who will teach error. That Hymenaeus and Philetus were not the only ones who had been led astray and were leading others astray. Father, we pray for those who teach error and ask that you would show them the error so that they would return to you. And we pray for ourselves as individuals and as a church family that we will have your discernment so that we can see when the word of God is being handled correctly. And so your spirit takes that. And we see our faith flourish and grow. Protect us as a church family, we pray. And help us to be a place where your word is handled correctly. In Jesus' name, amen.